Good evening, everybody.
What's the question?
ואלה המשפטים שתשים לפניהם. Those are the laws you're going to put in front of them. So, of course, the first question is, why those laws, and what's so special about them, and what's the meaning of tasim lifnehem? So, we would think that those mishpatim, those laws, are going to be religious laws that we all understand that are unique to the Jewish nation. But when we go through the laws that we have in our parsha, they are mostly normal laws that every society have to have in order to have a normal society. In other words, if somebody steals, if somebody makes a damage to somebody else, somebody kills, if your animal kills, if you put some obstacle in the Rishut HaRabi, all those things are normal things.
Living.
Yes. It's not special for the Jewish nation. It's everybody has to have it. And by the way, there's also the thing that one of the seven mitzvot, you know, of the seven mitzvot is dinim. Dinim is that every society, even if they're not Jewish, they have to have laws that organize normal life.
It says between man and man.
Yes.
Not between man and Hashem.
Yeah, exactly. So I would think that the Parsha will talk about Tefillin, Mezuzah, Pesach, all those things that are concerning only the Jewish nation. And then also the Tasim Lifneihem, Rashi makes it very clear that it's those are special laws from for Am Yisrael. And nevertheless, you're not allowed to go to a normal court, even if it looks the same, as we say. Let's say for somebody steals from you something. If you go to a normal court or you go to the Beis Din, the result's going to be similar. Because both cases, the guy who steals the money has to give you back the money, first of all. So what's the problem? The problem is that the Torah is telling us very clearly that those laws are special laws to Am Yisrael. So what's so special about them? If we start looking at them, we'll find out very quickly that there is nothing to compare between our laws to their laws. And this brings me, first of all, to what the Zohar HaKadosh writes. And he writes, if we think that the Torah is a story, history, or anything else in this mind, in this idea, we are not only mistaken, we are stupid. That's what the Zohar says. The Zohar says, the Torah is like a cover-up or clothes, like we wear clothes. It's the baget, it's the clothes of the Torah. And the Torah
is
the body. And inside the Torah, there is the soul. And inside this, there is a soul to soul, etc., etc., etc. So those who look only at the cover, they're stupid. Because you don't look on the cover, because the cover doesn't say anything about what's inside. We have to look at least at the body, which are the mitzvahs of the Torah. And this is also on, let's say it's a better level, but the better level is when we look into the neshama of the Torah. It's like you have the body, the clothes, and you have the inside of your neshama. And we all know what makes you what you are. It's not the clothes. It's
body.
Not even the body. It's what you've got inside. That's what you are. If you are a nice guy, it's nothing to do with your body or your clothes. It has to do with your neshama. And this is what the Torah is trying to tell us here. Don't look at the cover. Do understand that even if it looks the same as the laws of the goyim, it's not the same. For example, interest. Are we allowed to take interest from somebody?
No.
Are we allowed to give interest?
Not allowed to give. I
must. Don't do any mistake. You're not allowed to take and you're not allowed to give. Mm-hmm. Some people think that if he takes interest, it's not, what do you want from me? He asked for it. No, you're not allowed to pay interest. But if there is a goy, am I allowed to take interest from a goy?
Yes.
A goy.
Why? It sounds not fair.
Doesn't apply to them.
Why? If we are such good people, and we're supposed to be the light of the world, and the Torah is telling us you shouldn't take interest from a Jew, but you can. Some people even say it's a mitzvah to take interest from a goy. This is Torah?
Yes.
Yes, it must be. Nah.
Yeah, it is Torah. That's what the Torah is telling us. But it's exactly the thing. We cannot look at the clothes.
That's right.
We have to try and understand what it's all about. For example, this is very simple, by the way. Very simple. If your children ask you for a loan, and you've got the money to give them, and you're giving the money, you loan them the money, are you going to take interest?
No.
Why?
Because it's your children. Family.
What did you say?
It's your children.
Children. Your family. Am Yisrael are one family.
That's right.
So in other words, we don't take interest from each other. It goes both ways because we are one. The goy, do they have any problem with taking interest? No. They take. If they going to loan you money, are they going to take interest? Of course. So what's the problem? What's not fair here? And this is exactly the way, and this is a simple thing. That is not even going inside the thing. That's a simple idea, but when you look at the surface, you don't understand what it's all about. And it's a lot of things in the Torah like this. That they look in the first look, it looks, it's not fair, it's not right, it's not fair. Like the attitude to women and men in the Torah, which a lot of people don't even understand what it's all about. But says that the Torah discriminates women. It's stupid. It's not true. If you insult somebody in public, what is the Torah telling you?
It's like you are killed.
You're like you killed him. Wherever have you got something like this? Now, if you want to bring a killer to the judge, can you just do it? Or you need to have so many details that it's not that it's so difficult that it's almost impossible. So even if you see somebody going into a place with a knife in his hand, and in this place there is nobody else, and then you find a guy dead, and the guy standing on top of him with a knife in his hand and that's dropping the blood, and there is nobody else there, there's nothing you can do. You didn't see it happening, and even if you saw it, you're only one. You need two witnesses. Then you have to warn him. And only if he does it directly after your warning, then you have a case.
In that case, if a woman is a woman allowed to be a witness? Because women are not allowed to be witnesses.
So what's the question?
Is a woman
if
allowed?
If a woman sees somebody...
But even a man, if he sees, even if a man sees, it doesn't help.
But if it was two women...
No, it's that's exactly the idea, that we don't understand what the Torah wants from us. Because we are looking at the Torah as a story. And that's not what it is. It's much deeper. So we have to invest, understand. Now, even if we don't understand, because one of the interesting things in the whole idea is, Am Yisrael is saying, Na'aseh v'nishma. What is Na'aseh v'nishma? This is the Gemara, there's a famous Gemara. There's a famous Gemara that said about Rava was sitting in Yeshiva Mizrachit. How do you say Yeshiva Mizrachit in English?
Mizrachit.
Sitting on his knees, yeah. You know what I mean? Like sitting like this.
Oh, in Yeshiva Mizrachit.
Yeshiva Mizrachit.
Like an Indian.
With crossed legs and the hands underneath. And he was learning and he didn't notice that there was blood coming out of his finger. So this Doki, Tzdokim are those who believe only the Rashi Bechtav, only at the surface. And it's telling you are stupid literally. People. Like you did in Mount of Sinai. Who is so stupid that first of all says, I'm going to do, and then I'm going to look what it's all about. A normal guy with a little common sense understands that first of all, you listen to what you have to do. And then you understand what it's all about. Then you can decide to do it. But to tell right in front, I'm going to do it, even if I don't know what it's all about. And Na'aseh v'nishma means that we don't care what you say. We're going to say it like with blind eyes. Blind. Is this normal? Or let's ask the question differently. Who in the whole world can give you orders and you're going to do them without asking questions.
Hashem.
A father to a child. Why? Because your father loves you. And if he tells you something to do, it means only for the best. So, if our Father in heaven, which loves us much more than any human being in the world, even more than our parents, we have to understand this, even more than our parents, and he is the one that does everything, in charge of everything. He is the creator. So if he tells you something to do, are you going to do it or not?
Of course.
If you believe that God, the Almighty, loves you and knows what's good for you, of course, first of all, I'm going to do it. Then I can ask questions and check, but I'm going to do it. I wrote this Shabbos a very interesting story that I heard from a friend, from my friend Phil, last week. It's this guy, Kivi Bernhard, from South Africa. He wrote a book about leprosy. Lepers, like animal. And he took their... their attitude, the way they behave in nature, and put it on the business world. Very interesting. It became a bestseller. One day, somebody called John, which is one of the top people in Microsoft, international Microsoft, phones him. We want you to open our convention. You are going to be the opener speaker. Your lecture is going to be the first one opening our international convention of Microsoft International. Well, Kivi was very, very happy about it. When? Gives him the date. It's Shabbos. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm sorry. I'm an observant Jew. I'm not going to work on Shabbos. He says, we give you double. Just sorry. Triple. You know what? We give you an open check. A real story. A real true story. We give you an open check. He says, it's not a matter of money. I'm not going to work on Shabbos. I'm Jewish and I keep mitzvahs and I'm not going. The phone was hanged down, like boom. An hour later, he gets a phone. We move the convention to Sunday.
Wow.
A real true story. Mm-hmm. 2 months later, this John calls Kiwi Bernard and he tells him, I have to tell you a story. I'm just coming down now from a flight in the private plane of
Microsoft.
What's his name?
Bill Gates.
And we were talking on the convention and we mentioned you and that you didn't agree for any fee to come and talk on Shabbos. And Bill Gates says, you see, this is a guy with principles. Mm-hmm. You can buy a lot of things in life. I can buy planes, I can buy buildings, I can buy... But I cannot buy one Shabbos of a Jew. That's his belief. That is believing in God. I thought about it then later on, and I changed it 4 or 5 times what I wrote. Because I don't know if it sounds good, but I think personally, at least those who sit here, if they will approach us and offer us the same offer,
would you
we would do the same.
Absolutely.
So it's not so, it is special.
Of course.
But I'm saying that that's a Jew who believes it's a normal thing.
That's right. It's a done thing.
It's a done thing.
The table tennis.
Yeah, the girl.
18-year-old. She wants to go to the Olympics, but the trials are on Shabbos.
She's not going. And tennis,
they won't change. They have said that
they'll change it. They'll
the point here is... This way we have to behave with all the mitzvahs. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim ha-shtasim lifneim. Shabbos is the symbol. But the real truth is, if we really believe that God loves us, and if we're in the level of Am Yisrael that said, Na'aseh ve'nishma, so we should do everything that God tells us, without question, and it doesn't matter what happens. Mm-hmm. And this is ve'ele ha'mishpatim asher tasim. This is Am Yisrael saying na'aseh ve'nishma. This is us understanding that even if it looks strange, even if you say, why women cannot be witnesses? Why? How? Why? What's going on here? Why one witness that sees the action happening? And even two witnesses, if they didn't warn the guy, 2 witnesses, 10 witnesses didn't warn the guy and he killed somebody in front of them, cannot bring him to court. Unbelievable. So people will ask, 1 minute, what's going on here? By the way, it's not once and not twice it happened in the world that they caught somebody on something and they accused him, and he was sometimes, fortunately, there are places they have a death penalty, and then 20, 30 years later they found out they did a mistake. Yeah. By the way, there was here Baranes, also a very famous case. Right. He was sitting, I think, 20 years in jail for something he didn't do.
Right. More, I think.
So the Torah knows who we are. We are in the hands of God. There's no problem. He says, in our parasha, a very interesting thing. It says, Kilo... Where is it?
See, they didn't have video.
I don't know if it's going to help also. It's not so simple. And where is it?
That's why the Torah say, the Zohar say that you cannot go to a regular.
Yeah, that's
to a Beidin, not to a regular. People who know the Torah and can judge you according to the Torah and not according to the human law.
Yeah, it's got to work that both sides agree where it's going is right.
But in Israel, we use.
It's not the meaning of a court.
There are certain.
You push him to the Beit Din, and if he doesn't obey, it's his problem.
In Chamishi, if you have Chamishi, in Pasuk Zayin.
Midvar Sheker?
Yes, Midvar Sheker Tirchak.
Then I'll keep it
Tzadik.
Venaki Vetzadik. What is Venaki Vetzadik? What is the translation? Interesting.
What's it? Any?
Venaki Vetzadik. What's the translation in English?
Must be innocent, maybe.
Clean. Yeah, no. Oh, it's very important now to
clean,
see.
Clean Tzadik. Tzadik clean.
What, that's what he writes? Tzadik clean?
A clean tzadik, no.
What's it? Do not pervert the judgment of your destitute person in its
greenness.
English? See, that's when they have a problem. They don't know how to translate it. They find all the... No, it's very interesting to see what they write. What is right? What is Naki Vetzadik? Interesting.
Destitute is a very bad... doesn't sound right. Somebody who's not righteous.
No, my face gets a tzaddik.
Then I can keep thee far from a false matter and the innocent. I said the innocent.
No. So what he says, the innocent...
And the righteous.
That's what he writes? The innocent and the righteous?
You don't kill the righteous.
What is... Sorry to tell you, what's innocent?
Innocent.
You didn't do it.
And what's a tzaddik? What's the difference?
Righteous.
When we're talking about a court
somebody
case,
somebody who's innocent is not always a tzaddik.
In a matter of a court case, what is the difference between being innocent and being a tzaddik?
Innocent, according to the law, you didn't do it.
And what's tzaddik? And what is tzaddik?
Somebody who
is poor man.
Poor man.
No, it can't be poor man.
That's what I'm saying.
It can't be poor man. You're reading in the
Rashi. No. That's the pasuk before. Okay. So now you will see how. Sometimes
no, poor man. That's what
no. Poor man. The next pasuk.
The next pasuk.
Seven.
No.
Zion.
Yes, Zion.
Do not kill a convicted person if fresh evidence arises before his execution.
I didn't ask for an explanation.
That he is innocent.
I didn't ask for an explanation. I asked for a translation.
It's not easy, translation.
That's not, that looks like an explanation, not a translation.
Don't kill, it's begin like this.
I tell you in a minute what's going on here, so you understand. It's again one of the cases that is impossible to translate because you can only understand it in Hebrew.
A person was condemned and he's innocent. This is what.
No, like, do you see in a minute what's going on?
It's not also.
You should not reason that by his condemnation.
It is all what you said, but the point is, what is
they're
the
not the same as the words.
Okay. Naki, naki, letzadik. Okay. Let's say somebody had a court case, and he was found guilty, and now they take him out to kill him. Let's say he can be stoned, for example. So they take him out, and they had the whole system. Yeah. There was somebody with a flag standing in the entrance of the court, and somebody with a horse a little farther that they can see both each other. And if somebody came after this guy was convicted and he was guilty and said, "I've got something to say for him,"
they'd acquit him.
A new thing.
The one with the flag waves with the flag to the guy with the horse, and the guy with the horse rides quickly. And even if the guy is almost there, they take everybody back and they open the case again. Yeah. Which is very strange because this guy is convicted already. It's finished. Now,
it's new evidence.
It can happen, yeah, but after that, it's already the. What was the. The verdict was already out.
Yeah, but you can. But if the new evidence is found, reopen the trial.
How many times can you do it?
I don't know how many.
According to the halacha,
according to the halacha,
you can do it 100 times.
Yeah.
Even the guy himself, very interesting. Even the guy himself
say that he's guilty.
Like they going say, 1 minute, I've got something to say for myself. The guy himself.
The guy himself says.
The guy himself. They take him back. Let's hear what you've got to say. Of course, if he does it a few times and there is no reasonable reason, they're not taking back. But if it's got an excuse, something new, they take him back. Now, let's take the case in another way. The guy was clean, found out innocent, going out on the entrance. Somebody runs. I saw him doing it.
They can't do that. See, that they can't do.
Why not?
They can't change it. Once he's found innocent, they can't
change
it.
Why
that's,
not?
That's the law.
What
that's
law?
The law.
Which law?
Once,
which law?
Well,
which
it's law? Also a which civil law. Law. It's Jesus. Also a civil law.
But which law? From the man, for human, not for Hashem.
But they won't do it here.
Not in Shem, the Torah.
They don't do it here either, right? Am I right?
What?
They won't reopen the trial. Well,
they reopen it. Definitely not.
If he's innocent, if he's already judged as innocent, they won't change the verdict. They'll change the verdict if he has if he's
guilty
about,
not innocent.
But not innocent. Once you're
innocent
said
is
to
innocent,
be innocent,
even if it's a mistake.
And it's in civil law the same.
Even if it's this mistake.
Even if there's a mistake.
In the
halacha. Mistake.
That's what it said here. Venaki means if he
is
found clean, innocent.
Yeah.
Vetzadik, al tarog. What's the meaning?
Don't kill him.
Even if he's innocent, even if he's tzadik, in other words, his din was tzadik, he was found tzadik in the court. In both cases, you don't open it again. I don't care if he was really innocent or if he was really guilty. Why? Because God, ki lo atzdik rasha. If he's a real rasha and if he did it, I am going to judge him. I am going to deal with him.
He'll get judged by God.
Yes. In other words, this is very strange because from one side, and when you see the explanation in the Gemara, it's unbelievable. You know, this guy can go 20 times to the place and they can bring him back 20 times. But if he was found innocent, you cannot touch him anymore. Which sounds terrible, because let's say four people come, we saw him killing this guy.
Where were they before? That's the problem.
It took them time to come.
And it's civil war.
It's not so simple. If you have enough witnesses, they will open the case and they will judge him. Civil law, of course. But if you know that he's guilty, they're not going to let him go. They'll reopen the case.
Of course they reopen the case.
They reopen the case.
Even if they say that
he's found innocent.
You are under the impression of the Torah, which is good. But in the normal world, if they find somebody that he got out of the court and they found out that he is really guilty, they're going to take him back. Which is reasonable. It's logical.
No, it makes sense.
Because this guy is a killer, and now, okay, they did a mistake in the court, and now he's cut him out, and people come and says, we saw him doing it. So, but not going to take him, they're going to release him? According to the Jewish law, yes. And what is, how the difference is. God is not telling us, the Torah is not telling us, kilo atzdik, I'm not going to clean Russia. Kilo atzdik, so the atzdik goes with the tzaddik. In other words, this tzaddik is only from the outside tzaddik. Like it looks as if it's a tzaddik, so dek keilu. Naki is clean. And if he gets out clean, we understand. That's no way. Of course we're not going to kill him. But even if he is a tzaddik by the law, but he is not really a tzaddik, and you have all the proofs of the world, you still cannot. There's a verdict, that's it. Kilo abat, so what's going to happen? What, murderers are going to go around the street and do whatever they want to?
So,
this is if you don't believe. He said, kilo atzdik rasha, don't worry. Like Rashi brings a very interesting story about somebody who kills by accident. So he has to go to Il Miklat. Now, to a shelter town, whatever you call it. It's not exactly a reward.
No.
Because it's quite a punishment.
Yeah. It's like being in confinement for
yeah,
corona.
Yeah, exactly what's happening now.
Isolation.
Not that terrible, but still. You have to leave your home, you have to go and live in a different town. Anyway, this guy killed somebody by accident. Nobody saw it. So he goes on with his own normal life. He didn't run to Il Miklat. From the other side was this guy who killed intentionally somebody. And this bottle?
Yeah.
And nobody saw it also. So of course it's not going to go to court, I killed somebody. So what is God doing? He puts them together in the same place. And the one who killed by accident is climbing a ladder, and the other one is sitting underneath the ladder.
And he gets healed.
And the guy that climbs the ladder, something, one of the quick breaks, and he falls on the guy that killed intentionally. He kills him by accident, and everybody sees it. So the guy who killed intentionally is being killed. Kilo atzdik rasha. And the guy that killed by accident has now to run to Il Miklat because everybody saw him.
The Gemara bring this case.
Yeah.
It's a Shemir and a Shemazel.
Whatever it is, it's just telling us that God is there looking after everything.
Judge.
And He. So if you believe in God, so you've got no problem to say Nasa v'nishma. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got no problem. There is another interesting point. As we said, Lifnehem says Rashi, Keshulchan Aruch. It has to be put in front of the people like ready made meal.
Set table.
That you only have to put the fork in and eat. You don't put a not cooked chicken and tell them, and you give them all the instruction how to cook the chicken, no problem. No, you don't do this. You don't bring in vegetables. You bring a salad. And you bring the chicken cooked. And not only this. On a plate. With a fork and knife. That the only thing he has to do is just eat. God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think you're going to tell them once, twice, three times, doesn't matter. And that you tell them the law and you can go home? No. You have to make sure that they understand it. and they do the right thing. And why those laws and not all the laws? Because the Elam Mishpatim is talking about our parsha, and our parsha are not all the laws of God. Because those laws are special laws that each one of us has to know. Why? Because they are daily things. And it's we talked about it last week. It's impossible that for every small thing we will go and ask the rabbi. You know, there are things that you have to know. People know you need the mezuzah on your door. People know that you have to wash your hands in the morning. People know that you say modeh ani. Those are basic things. And those basic things are in our parsha. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. By the way, another interesting thing of our parsha is when we look at in Pasuk, the same way, Pasuk Yudalet, also in Chamishi.
Yud Dalet,
14.
Shalosh Regalim.
Yes. What are those Shalosh Regalim? This is Pesach,
Shavuot,
and Sukkot. Now, look what's written here. In Pasuk 15, Chetvav, את חג המצות תשמעו, you keep the חג of the matzos, שבעת ימים, 7 days, תאכל מצות, כאשר ציוויתיך, and what time? למועד חודש האביב. What is חודש האביב?
Spring.
Yeah, spring. קיברת על מצרים ולא ראו פנה לכם. וחג הקציר, the next Pasuk, what is חג הקציר? What is קציר?
The
harvest, no?
The harvest, yeah.
The harvest. So it calls the harvest holiday.
Right.
ביקורי מסכה של עזרא בשדה, וחג האסיף, and what is אסיף? Yeah, but what is אסיף?
When you gather
the thing from the field. Now, what's going on here? What's the connection between those yontov, those shalosh regalim, and what's happening in the field? Who cares?
The farmers do.
So look what's the pasuk is saying in the at the end of it. Be'osfecha et
masecha. In other words, you have to take account of your actions.
What actions?
What you've done.
In the field.
No.
The field, you're going to see that the harvest you're gathering, if it's good, it means you did good things.
You did well.
If it's not good, you were not good. You didn't do good things. You have to change. In other words, it was like Hussein Shema. That's written. If we listen to God, He's going to give us the rain in time. And if we're not going to listen to God, He's not going to give us the rain.
We must be listening this year.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
So in other words, if I want... Today, it doesn't work like it used to work. But at all times, that's what it was. If Am Yisrael had it good, a good year from the agriculture point of view, it meant that they were doing the right things
rewarded
in the eyes of God. And if it wasn't, it's not a reward, it's more like showing us if we're on the right way or not. It's giving us the tools to worship God. Mm-hmm. It's like, you see, when we daven for things that we want, it's not, that's not our matara, that is not our test. This is our tools. Our means to do what's good in the eyes of God. So also here, how am I going to know if I'm doing the right thing or the people, Am Yisrael, are doing the right thing? So if we were really going in the ways of God, so we could see it. We could see it in the field. If there was enough rain, there was good harvest, it meant that we are in the good way. We're doing the good things. And if not, we have to fix the things. We have to fix our deeds.
But today I was in shock when I read what happened with this Gleek, this ginger.
Yeah.
I was in shock because he's a dapty guy. And
he went to the Harabayat and they claimed that he stole evidence or something from the police.
No, this is after.
They arrested him because he was not walking quickly
enough or something.
This is what the police said.
He's in, he
and they took him like he's a gangster, you know.
Like he didn't get shot.
I was shot.
Then later, he was in the police a few hours. Then he went, they released him because they... And then they went to his home and took
in
again,
the middle of the night.
Accusing that he took something from the police there that accused him. They didn't find anything
this
also.
Is good deed?
What's going on?
Who said the police are good deeders?
We are going now to the third election. And talking about good deeds, I don't know. but we see what's happening around us. But this is what God demands us. And he tells us something unbelievable that people don't realize it. And when we look at Pasuk Lamed, which is Pasuk Lamed from Perek Kaf Gimel, I think. Go back.
Ma'at.
No. Go back. Not this parak. Not this parak. The parak before. Kaf Bet. I don't know. So here he writes Kaf Gimel. Here he writes Kaf Gimel. Is it Kaf Gimel or Kaf Bet?
No, it doesn't say on
there. No, Kaf Dan.
Revi. Go to Revi. What Revi is? Kaf Gimel. Parak Kaf Gimel. Parak Kaf Gimel.
Parak
Kaf Gimel.
It's not Revi.
Yes.
Yeah, it's after Revi.
After Revi, a little light.
No, it's before Chamishi. Don't go to Chamishi.
A little light.
What down.
Kaf Gimel.
Before, go to Lamed of Perek Kaf Bet. Okay. If you get to Kaf Gimel, go to Pasuk...
Anshei Kodesh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anshei Kodesh.
What is the Anshei Kodesh Tiyunli?
Holy people.
What is God asking us, really?
It's the end. It's actually Chaf Bet, the last
pasuk. Yeah, the end, the last pasuk of Chaf Bet. If you find Revi, it's after Revi. If you find Kaf Gimel, it's a pasuk before. The Anshei Kodesh. One of our problems in life is the influence of society on us. We are being brainwashed all the time. For example, when we look at we talked about in the past, you know this YOLO? You know YOLO? It's like, how do you call it? Ma'adan Chalav, Ma'adan chocolate thing. We talked about it in the past. What are the initials of YOLO? You remember?
Yeah, you said this the taste.
You
of...
only live once.
Right.
No, this is what they did, like the advertising. When they started advertising, they said it tastes so good, it tastes like a sin.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people thinking now that to be
is good.
Yes, not only good. It means that doing mitzvah is not good. It doesn't taste good. It's bitter. Like to be a righteous guy, it's not good. It's, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be happy if you sin. It's so good. It tastes like a sin. How can you even? It's unbelievable.
You say it's sinful.
And then you say, the initials. You only live once, really? What's this all about? How do you know the slogan of Coca-Cola in Hebrew? Ta'am ha'chaim.
Taste of life.
You know, this is like they're brainwashing us all the time. You know, Pepsi did a test. They put three glasses in front of a bag. Yeah. We also talked about this, but it's connected. They put three glasses, one Pepsi, the other one Coke, and the third one RC. All cola, yes? RC Cola, Pepsi Cola, and Coca-Cola. And they didn't write, of course, what it's all about it. And they did a taste. What is the flavor you love? And most of the people...
Pepsi.
Yes.
I prefer Pepsi.
Yeah, yeah. The funny thing is, when they ask them, what do you think is the best taste? They say Coca-Cola.
Right.
Now, they proved Pepsi that their drink is better and tastier, and still Coke is being sold much more, didn't help them.
Better advertising.
Why? People always say, why Coca-Cola are advertising all the time? You know, they do those big things, they invest millions. Yeah. Why? Everybody knows.
Yeah.
That's brainwashing. Yeah. When you go to a place, Yeah. What is the first thing you will ask if you want something to drink?
A
coke. A coke.
What did you say?
Water.
Coca?
Water.
Most of the people, if you ask them, give me a name for drink, what's going to be the first name thinking about?
Cola.
Yeah. This is brainwashing.
No, but now it's Pepsi Max, a lot of people ask.
Yeah. But it's, the point is very interesting. Like, you see how we are really living in a society and we're being brainwashed all the time. Yeah. And that's why we start thinking like them. And this is what we have to know. We are not like them. Now, this is another important thing. In, let's say, for the Christian tradition, if you want to be a saint, you have to take yourself out of this materialistic world and live like a
monk.
A monk. Like they have those who don't talk, Minzara Shaktanim in Jerusalem. And you have the priest, they don't get married. Because how can you be with a woman if you are so holy? Like, to be a woman is not being holy. Everything is Keilu. That's exactly the problem. But when you ask them, what is to be holy, is to separate myself from the materialistic life. Mm-hmm. And what is Judaism saying?
No, opposite. We have to live.
On the contrary.
The opposite.
On the contrary. We brought you here to take all the materialistic stuff and elevate them. For example, this thing that they say, the desire of flesh between men and women, you cannot be a saint if you do this. So you cannot get married. How do we call this?
Kadosh.
Kiddushim.
Kiddushim.
Kiddushim. Arei at mekudeshet li. We sanctify it. And this is what the Torah is telling us here. It's not written, v'malachim tiyuli. You will be angels, holy angels. Malachei kodesh. No. V'anshei kodesh tiyuli.
People
that sanctify themselves, sanctify life. This is our job. And in order to do this, this is why we have those mishpatim, in order to get closer to God, in order to live life of flesh and blood with holiness. That is our job. And when you come up there, they're going to ask you, did you enjoy this world? In other words, did you use what I gave you? Because it's only reasonable if God created this world. Who did he create it for?
What?
For human beings.
Men.
To do what?
For women.
For everybody. For human beings to sanctify the flesh. Sanctify the chomer. And this is exactly our job. It starts, the first law is Eved Ivri. What is Eved Ivri? A slave. And like, also when we look from the surf on the outside, as we said that you cannot look like this, but if we look at it, slave, we haven't got slaves today. All those laws are, what does it mean to us today? But the real truth is,
We have
slaves. We are all slaves. And I'm telling you even a funny thing. We have to be slaves. But it depends a slave of what?
Yeah.
We are the slaves of God. That's Eved Ivri. When we look through the laws, Or Chaim HaKadosh puts it in a very nice way. I'm not going to go into it. We haven't got time. But it's very interesting to see what's the difference between an Eved Ivri and an Eved Goy, Eved Knani. There's a big difference. And the interesting thing is that you know that law by law, if you take an Eved Knani through the year, you have to convert him. You cannot have a Goy as your slave. If you have buy a slave, a Goy slave,
you have 1 year.
You have 1 year to convert him. And he is obliged to do all the mitzvahs as a woman. And if he's being freed, which you're not allowed to free him, but if he is freed, he is a normal Jew.
After conversion, of course.
He has to be converted. Otherwise, he cannot stay your slave.
Even if he doesn't want to convert.
He cannot be a slave. Well, the slave does what his master wants him to do. But if he doesn't want, and if, let's say, it doesn't happen, he has to release him.
But that applies to both a man and a woman.
Of course. Yeah. Doesn't matter. A slave girl, a slave man, he has to be converted.
But there isn't any more slaves.
This is that, because I get to think. That's the idea. The idea is very simple. That everybody can be the slave of God. Everybody can join us. That's exactly the idea. If you want to be the right slave, what is the right slave? Slave of God.
What does it mean, slave?
For example, like, we're talking about Bill Gates. Let's presume Bill Gates comes to you and he tells you, you know, I see you have a miserable life. Come to me. I want you to be my slave. In a good way. You know, you're going to be my slave. You're going to do what I'm telling you to do. But I'm going to provide everything. You're going to have a house in Beverly Hills. And you know what? I'm going to give you also a house in St. Moritz in Switzerland. And also in Rehavia in Jerusalem. And you know what? I'm going to give you another house also in Tel Aviv. Whatever you want. 4 or 5 houses I'm going to give you. Cars, whatever you want. Food, the best food. Clothes, the best clothes.
Money.
How much you need. So, what are you going to do with this guy? No, don't want to be a slave.
No, what?
You're going to jump on it. Well, of course. No, because, and then everything you do...
I will ask what I have to do for you first. What is the condition? To give me all the things, but he don't tell me.
Nothing is going to hurt you. The funny thing is, all for you. It's all for you at the end of the day. So, it's
so not
a better offer?
You're not a slave.
No, you have to listen to what I'm saying to you. You are my slave.
Oh.
So you are my slave.
This is what I ask. What I have to do?
What do you think you can ask?
Everything.
According to the halacha, you think you can ask a slave to do whatever you want to?
No, you have to ask.
But I'm talking halachically.
But Bill Gates got some good question.
No, I'm not talking about this. This is Bill Gates. And even if Bill Gates comes to you with this offer and tells you, I'm going to give you everything, you don't have to worry about nothing. The only thing is, I want you to work for me. You call it slave, you call it whatever you want to. But at the end of the day, you do what I want you to do, but you have to understand that you are getting everything you want in life.
But this
who is going to say no? Now God comes to you and he tells you a better offer. He says, I'm God, the Almighty. I created the world. And I tell you, I love you. You are my son. I want you to be my slave. Which means that I want you to listen to me without questions. But you have to understand. If you listen to me, you get everything.
Everything you need.
And when you end your job, all the reward of what you did as a slave is going to you. Not to me. I don't need it. I've got plenty. So who is stupid enough to say to God no? That's Evan Ivri. The poet Evan Gvirol, he says,
what reward is there? Eved
Hashem hu levad hachofshi. Only a slave of God is really free. And what does it mean? What is a slave? A slave listens to what his master tells him to do. Now, if the master knows what is the best for you, and he tells you to do only what is good for you, are you a slave or are you really free? Because if you are a slave of your desires, then you are a slave. In the worst way. Because it's going to lead you to a disaster. And we see it all the time.
Was Eliezer a slave?
Yes. By the way, Eliezer is a symbol of how you should be.
Converted?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, but that's not the case. The case is that we talked about it. That Eliezer is the symbol how you're going to be a slave of God. Because he does what Avraham Avinu is asking him to do. And he's fighting his own desires to take his daughter and to give it to Yitzchak. And he does all those things, and he does it in a quick way in order not to let Yetzer Hara come into his mind.
It wasn't easy.
Of course not. And this is exactly the idea. If we think for a minute, you see, like I said, that people say, "Ani yoseh ma barosh sheli." Mm-hmm. You know this phrase?
Ani
yoseh ma barosh sheli. Alevai. Barosh is the neshama. If you do what in the Rosh Lucha, your life will look different. Unfortunately, they do what they have in their heart, not in their head.